That was a one-page summary of his teachings that sort of compresses everything into one page, and I think you can see why the other approaches we took are helpful, but trying to explain that, even to explain that to adults, is kind of tricky. It's taken me a while. The people who came to see Krishnamurti were no different from us. They were anxious, searching, fearful, confused, perhaps angry, depressed, disillusioned, cynical. In Krishnamurti, they saw a teacher who was the embodiment of his own message, a man who, when he was a child, was identified by Annie Besant of the Theosophical Society as spiritually gifted, as the next great world teacher, a child whom she helped to educate and for whom she and the society built a worldwide organization called the Order of the Star of the East, which he would lead and which would disseminate his teachings. Krishnamurti, the young man who at the very moment he was to take charge of the order, disbanded it. He gave back the money and property that had been donated and told his would-be followers that truth is a pathless land, that each person contains the truth within herself, that each person must find the way, that no external source, even Krishnamurti himself, could do this for them. The people who came to see and listen to Krishnamurti wanted what he had, his wisdom, serenity, compassion. He didn't make it easy. In his writings, you will find the occasional use of the word meditation, but you will be hard-pressed to find anything like a method or technique, no instructions, only and repeatedly the invitation to observe the processes of our own minds, to watch our thoughts as they construct the world and manufacture our egos. His message, pure and simple, just observe. Simple, huh? Not really. We all know how to observe, to take notes, and come to conclusions. The difficulty is that we are asked to observe something we really don't pay attention to, the workings of, rather than the content of, our own minds. For most of our lives, we have allowed our minds to run free and unleashed, just like that puppy, running to this thought, then that, being dragged through the emotional highs and lows that often accompany this unrestrained mental scampering. Simple? Well, actually, yes. Krishnamurti tells us that to experience life in the way he is describing, the only tool at our disposal is to observe the movement of our thoughts. This is observation without any goal, without judgment, without effort, without processing or categorizing, without flinching, just watch. And yet, though Krishnamurti would never use this word, there is a goal to this, is there not? Some state of being that this kind of observation can help us get to. What is that goal? Now, this is my words. I don't know that he would appreciate me putting this kind of metaphor on it, so I mean, we all sort of kind of struggle to understand what he's saying. So these are very much my words. I believe that the one thing, the goal we're striving for in the depths of ourselves is the sense, the experience that we truly belong here, that we are not the result of evolution gone wrong, aberrant DNA Frankensteins bent on destroying ourselves and the planet, that we are truly brothers and sisters with sand and soil and ocean, with creatures great and small, with all humanity and the stars and planets above, that we yearn to experience, to feel the immensity of creation, its holiness in our lives, not through concepts and words, but directly. I believe that we want to restore our original connection to the universe. In another way, in fact, my favorite way of putting this is we want to experience grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that loved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Imagine for a moment that it's a pleasant summer evening. You're standing near the fountain in front of the Regal Cinema in Newtown, waiting for a friend. stranger comes up to you and asks you where the theater is. You pause, running through your mind is, what, is this guy drunk, crazy? And you say to him, well, you're here. You've arrived. It's right here in front of you. Can't you see it? I believe that what Krishnamurti wanted us to realize is that we're already there. Or rather, we're already here. We've always been here. We don't need to go looking in Tibet or buy the next series of DVDs from the latest self-help guru during PBS Pledge Week. Every time we turn around, there's somebody else up there. We can experience that amazing grace right here, right now. What prevents us from seeing this is our lifelong obsession with the unending noise and drama of our own thoughts. If we could still the tempest in the brain, not eliminate thought, after all, it has been vital to our existence and survival. If the minds could become transparent, if only for moments every day, we could begin to experience that radical transformation in seeing and being that Krishnamurti often spoke about. Imagine what that state might be like. In this church, as in many others, there are often considerations and discussions of spirituality. We UUs have wrestled with it often. We do our best. We make lists. We listen to each other respectfully. There are no wrong answers to the question, what is spirituality? Still, we are dealing with words and concepts. When the mind becomes still and transparent, we experience what these words and concepts were aiming at. Or as William Blake put it, if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to us as it is, infinite. For we have closed ourselves up till we see all things through narrow chinks of our cavern. You've all heard the saying, the best things in life are free. Let's change that to, the best things in life are always available if our senses are open to receive them. Who owns the sunrise? Who is charging you to see the sunset? Every seat is a front row seat and costs nothing if we'll take the time to stop and listen to the symphony of nature. With the mind transparent and still, we will be amazed at the wonders around us and what we have always taken as our ordinary daily lives. There is a Buddhist saying that captures this well. As you walk and eat and travel, be where you are. Otherwise, you will miss most of your life. Real living is found in the everyday, the commonplace. All that is right here, right now. Real communication between two people is finally possible because when the mind is transparent and still, real listening occurs. We cease planning what to say when it is our turn to speak, and we listen fully and intently. What would the world be like if we acted from this state of transparency and stillness? Krishnamurti wrote frequently about the love that flows spontaneously when the mind is content and at peace, a love that makes no distinctions, free of the distractions of runaway thought and all its categories, sorting, pigeonholing, biases, prejudices, hatreds, jealousies, imagined slights and injuries. What a crystal clear window through which to gaze out upon the world. We begin to understand Jesus' response when he was asked, who is my neighbor? The answer, anyone who is in need. Not those with white skin, not those who live in my zip code, not those who drive Priuses, not those who are highly educated, those who share my political beliefs, those who are UUs, none of this, simply all humankind. After all, the world is not suffering from an abundance of love, and what the world needs is, in fact, more love. I first met Krishnamurti more than 4 years ago. By met, I mean through his writings. My immediate reaction was that I didn't get it. I sensed what he was saying, but really didn't understand. Since that time, I've read many books on spirituality, practiced and taught yoga, learned Qigong, practiced meditation. Although several years may pass Without my reading any of his books, he is always a presence in my life. If not always center stage, then waiting in the wings to come back out. I thank you for your patience this morning. This service has been a little different. I think you would agree. I hope that you were able to get some sense of what this remarkable man spent his lifetime teaching and writing about. I hope that there is something from this morning that you will take home, and that in the days to come, some faint echo of what was said here may reverberate lightly within you. Perhaps at some random moment, as you pause momentarily, just inhaling and exhaling, your mind will become still so that you might know, if only for a second or two, tranquility and wholeness.